Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who, through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, have received a faith as precious as ours. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, Happy New Year if you were celebrating even in this building last night, and if you understand the red and the lanterns for New Year. If it has been one day since New Year's Day for you, or maybe a month and a half if you celebrate on January the 1st, I have here New Year's resolution type questions for you. So here's the review one. So looking back on the past year, how has it gone as a Christian? Then, assuming that you've had the same kind of year that the most of us tend to have, then what was it that you found hard about being a Christian? That would be normal to have there being failure mixed in with the last year, and for there to be things about it that were hard. Then here is the question I want us to focus on this morning. What would you need to make 2026 easier? Whether your 2026 begins today or began a month ago. And I could try and guess for the people in the room. So it may be that it is the people that you share a house with, if only they were easier to live with. And there may be some parents feeling that, need to see some of the youth group are again in today as well as at 9:30. They may be thinking, if only my parents were less frustrating, annoying, difficult. Maybe it is something about your life. Maybe you wish if you had some more sleep, if you felt less tired, if there was less pressure at your work, if your neighbours were more considerate. Those following the saga of Yappy Dog in our street has now moved to 8 a.m. rather than 5 a.m., for which great thanks to God. Maybe if you had a different job or a different house or a different something, then 2026 would be okay. Well, reopen 2 Peter chapter 1. Really, we're in verse 3 for most of what we're saying this morning. It is a verse that is a shock verse for me every time I look at it again, even though I know it well. Verse 3. His divine power has given us, notice the past tense, has given us everything we need for a godly life, or better actually, life and godliness. So God maybe has not given us the things that I guessed and the things that we think we need. But Peter says he has given us everything that we really need for life and godliness. So that's my first heading. He has given us everything we need. And the rest of the letter, I should tell you, does not think that life and godliness is a sort of pushover and an easy thing. We're not talking about, you know, giving you all you need to show up at church on a Sunday, even when it's raining, though that is hard. And, you know, live in a house with someone and manage not to murder them this year if you can. No, godliness in 2 Peter, it means to become like God. Means to say no to the things that you desire, means to live differently to everyone else around you in the rest of London, the rest of the world. And Peter says we have what we need, everything that we need. And at that point, I have one more question for you. So Peter says you already have everything you need to live a godly Christian life. Here's the question. Is that good news or bad news? I think that is actually quite a hard question, because an honest review of our last year is likely to include a great deal of failure. Mine does. And so as a Christian failing a fair amount of the time, do I want to hear good news? God has given you all that you need to do better in 2026. Is that what I want to hear? Or do I want to hear, don't worry about 2025. Don't worry if you throw the lectern down the steps. Don't worry about 2025. You're doing about as well as you could possibly be expected to. Relax. Which one of those two is it? I asked at 9:30 and I now know the answer. Is it only at church weekends that people have to do those stupid icebreaker games? And someone came up to say, not only was this icebreaker game that I'm about to tell you only known in Christian circles, but also it had got his daughter a job only the week before. So there you go. But the icebreaker I'm thinking of is the one where you're told, please will you competitively build the tallest tower that you can, but we are only going to give you spaghetti and marshmallows. If you had to do that one and you have a go. Normally, you know, you get, and it's triangles. It's all about the triangles, isn't it? And you try and make the stupid thing as tall as you can, and you're quite impressed with what you've done by the time you finish. And then the referee says, step away now and stop holding your tower. At which point, everything that you've made kind of crumbles onto the floor in a bit of a heap, and you realize that what you've actually built is not, in fact, as tall as a single marshmallow resting on the floor somehow. It's shorter. That's a disaster, but it's not a disaster that matters. Because you were not given everything that you needed to make a tower. You were given spaghetti and marshmallows. But if Battersea Power Station, so massive redevelopment, they've spent £1.15 billion just on the power station. If that were to fall over this year, that would be a much bigger problem because they had all the resources in the world to make it work. 2 Peter 1 verse 3, is it good news or bad news? It is good news because I would love to be good, wouldn't you? It is so frustrating when I am selfish or uncaring or proud. And it's so wonderful if you can manage a day where you're generous or where you try and be self-controlled about something, and you are. But you see, all of my excuses are gone if he really has given everything that I need. Verse 3, his divine power has given us everything. And I wonder if that is a shift in thinking for us in 2026. We're thinking over these two Sundays about growth and discipleship. Is that a shift in thinking that actually you have everything that you need? Because all of us in our Christian lives, there is failure and there is struggle. So it's easy to blame God for that, but not actually be involved in the struggle of trying to make it different. Can be very comfortable to assume that there's nothing I can do. Have you ever been challenged by, I don't know, a coach or a parent or a teacher or a friend? Maybe you're on one of those horrendous, you know, jogs around the park for the 58th time and your personal trainer looks like they're finding this as easy as a walk in the park, literally. And they say, come on, just, and you come back maybe, at an elevated volume of voice. I just can't do it. Do you ever do that? And insert excuse here. I'm just not that kind of person. I've not had that kind of life. I've got this problem. And I think 21st century coaching probably says, you may not have this kind of personal trainer, but 21st century training says, poor you. Don't worry. Nobody could expect more from you. But I wonder if anybody ever actually said to you, Charlie, probably not with that name, but whatever, insert your name, Charlie, I know it's hard, but you can. I know it's hard, but you can. And actually, tomorrow, you will. That is a very different message, isn't it? Which is it with our Christian life? Is it I can't and you shouldn't expect me to? Or is it I've been given everything that I need, so I will try? I know it's hard, but you can. Okay, that's our first heading, given everything we need. But if we've been given everything that we need, you see it is really important to look in the right place. There is no shortage of possible offers. Courses and accountability groups or extra rules, things to do. Whereas 1 verse 3 is a very, very liberating verse. If we can get clear on where to go for everything that we need, then we don't need to chase down every new fad hoping that it will help. Isn't it the case? Every time I sin, I'm in the market for something to help me. Well, not needed. No new secret is needed, only this. In verse 3. And if we can agree together what that is, and if God's divine power is any good, which it is, then we should just keep coming back here. It would be like having a gold mine in your garden. Again, I don't know if you ever kind of searched the house for a £10 note. I just, when I'm sending my children out to get food, there must be some money. It would be all much easier, wouldn't it, if in the garden in my shed was a gold mine. We've run out of money. Never mind. Give me half an hour. Give me a bit of time with a hammer. I'll be back with some gold and we're good. So what is it? Where is the gold mine? So we have been given everything we need. So what is it? What is everything that we need? What will Peter put in the space? Look at verse 3 again. His divine power has given us everything that we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him, who called us by his own glory and goodness. So everything that we need is there in our knowledge of him. It is deeply unfashionable, I think, in our culture to think that anything of spiritual value would come from knowledge, from information. So let's just check, does Peter really mean it? And I'm going to take us through the whole letter, but very, very quickly. So 1 verse 2 at the beginning of the letter, grace and peace be yours. How? Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus. 1 verse 3 we've got in front of us. 1 verse 4, through them you may participate in the divine nature. And them means his very great and precious promises. That's a knowledge category again. Our knowledge of the gospel, of God's promises. Or 1 verse 8. Don't be unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And turn one page, I think it's only one page, maybe two, to the end of the letter. It's always a good sign if you have the same thing being said at the very beginning of a letter and the very end. It means you've probably got hold of the main point. So chapter 3 verse 17, there's a don't. Don't be carried away by error. That is also what chapter 2 in the letter is all about. If you fill yourself with bad knowledge, with false knowledge, then you can't have life and godliness. But then 3 verse 18, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So for Peter, knowledge is the everything that you need. That's what we write in that space. Knowledge is the gold mine in the garden. But like we said last week, for Peter, knowledge is not dry and dusty and academic and stuffy. He doesn't just mean know about here or know information about God, though he does care, chapter 2, about truth and getting the facts right. But the facts, they are not dry and dusty. This is personal, relational knowledge. 1 verse 2, come back to chapter 1. 1 verse 2, you know God and you know Jesus. 1 verse 3, we know the one who called us to be with him forever. 1 verse 4 says, somehow he has drawn us into sharing his divine nature. That's how close we are to him. And did you see, Peter will not accept that any Christian in this room is at a disadvantage in this. Remember who Peter is. Peter spent 3 years at least with Jesus. He was his closest disciple. 1 verse 1, he's writing to people who do not know, have never met Jesus like he had. And he writes to them and says, you have a faith as precious as ours. And we have not seen Jesus face to face, but Peter who did, he says our relationship, our faith is the same. It is as precious. So you think of all the things you might want to say about God, all the theological truths. He's light, he's powerful, he's good. But here is maybe the most important thing you could say. If you're a Christian believer here today, you can say, I know him. He's my friend. I wonder, let's take this to the world of celebrity knowledge. So are any of your friends sort of worryingly, disturbingly knowledgeable about a celebrity, as in might be willing to go on Mastermind, answer the questions, pick your category? Let's go with Great British Bake Off winners from 2022 to 2025. Okay, that's quite a lot of knowledge. Need to know about 4 people. If you know their names, come and tell me at the end. I have them written down. There's no prize. But you go on Mastermind, thousands of facts from the show, from the interviews they've done, from their social media. And the idea would be that if you remember all of that, then you know all about those famous people. Well, God is a famous person. But we need to be clear what kind of knowledge we're talking about here. The well-researched, well-read, non-believing professor of theology, they have lots of mastermind knowledge about God. It's like someone who knows a celebrity's birthday and their favorite color and thinks that they know them. But behind every Bake Off winner are the people who genuinely actually do know them. And I've got a All Souls revelation here to give you that I've revealed to the staff team, and they were utterly uninterested, revealed to 9:30 today in the moderate interest, but we'll see. Somebody who is normally in this room with us, annoyingly not actually here today, someone normally in this room with us is a genuine, real good friend of Jasmine, who won Bake Off in 2025. It's exciting. Very little, okay. Moderately. The person, the All Souls person, actually their name is all over the interviews that Jasmine gave to the press. There's a particular interview that she gave to Premier about her Christian faith, Jasmine's Christian faith, and this person who's at All Souls was named in there. And in fact, this person was the person who made her go on the show, as in said, I will fill out the form for you and apply for you if you won't. So she did. She knows her. It's like that. 2 Peter 1 verse 3, we know God. We know him personally if we have this faith that Peter says is as precious as his. It's one of the reasons why we meet her on a Sunday like this, is so that anybody who's here today, you don't know God like this, we would love to help you know him. We'd love to tell you about how we have come to know him. According to Peter, we know him from the moment we trust him. From the moment we place our trust in him. And of course, there is room for growth in that knowledge. All of us, however long we've been doing this, we have just begun in our knowledge of God, because he is so huge. That is why, 1 verse 3, knowledge of him can be everything that we need, because he is infinitely huge, his own glory and goodness. But it's clear, isn't it, from 1 verse 3, this huge, infinite person is determined to know us. He took the initiative. He called us. It's a significant verb, isn't it? The phrase, don't call us, we'll call you. That's the sort of normal brush off. If you've ever met a celebrity, I guess that you didn't ask them for their number and start ringing them every day. They have people who deal with people who do that. But somebody who is normally in this room with us has Jasmine's number and could call Jasmine and say, should we go for a cake? Could probably even say, do you want to come and cook me or bake me a cake? You could bake them, don't you? Bake me a cake in my house. The sovereign God wants to know us, wants to include us in what he's doing, wants to reveal to us what he is really like. Aren't you glad that this is the gold mine of all the things that could be? Do you know anybody who is like our God and his Son, the Lord Jesus, and his Spirit, who takes up life and residence inside our hearts. Just in these first verses, look how God is described. Savior, our God, righteousness, grace, and peace, our Lord, divine power, glory, and goodness, and he has given us knowledge of him. If somebody like that lived next door, wouldn't you want to go and see them? Imagine if they said, well, come and spend time with me. Imagine if they said, come on holiday with me. Verse 11, come and join his eternal kingdom. What a gold mine this is. So let me try and show you how all this would fit together on a sort of diagram. So there is now is our Christian life. We've talked about how it begins. You believe the promises and you participate in the divine nature and you escape from the normal corruption of this world. And then the future is that warm welcome, rich welcome into his eternal kingdom. So what do we need to grow while we live here, while we seek to follow him? And the answer in 2 Peter is knowledge of God. That is what we need to fill our hearts and our heads with, the knowledge of God and his own glory and goodness. Which is different, I think, from how we normally approach what is difficult in our 2025-2026. So if you've got a problem wasting time, maybe you get a diary, maybe you get an app that will shout at you about the things you were meant to do or reward you if you do them. Maybe you're finding it really hard to get on with a friend. Maybe we make lists of what is, maybe sometimes quite short lists, what is actually still good about them. Maybe we really struggle with intrusive thoughts, maybe envy or something like that. So go for a run, do something like that to get them out of your head. When, according to this, what we need most of all of those things can be helpful. What we need most of all is to know God better. Isn't that good news? Because we love knowing God, don't we? But sometimes we're too busy doing all of our rules and going for our runs. Actually, I don't do that, but whatever you do, making the lists in our diary, too busy to know God better. So rather than struggle and try just not to do the thing we're trying not to do, or work on the list or the diary or the friend, instead, work on God, on us and God, not us and money or us and envy or whatever it is. How good is he? How much does he love me? How much has he given to me? How exciting it is to know him. Is what he wants for me likely to be good or bad? So if it's a bad habit, maybe, that you want to break, again, is the answer more accountability or more apps on your phone or more calorie counting? Again, those things can be useful, but really we need something, verse 4, to help us to escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. We need something to be more exciting, more desirable than the things we want to do. We spoke about this a week ago on Saturday. We had a day on sex and relationships. And we spoke about sexual temptation. So this is a very big ask, given how powerful sexual temptation is. A run or a cold shower is not going to cut it for long. But knowing the infinite, eternal God, being his friend, joining the adventure of increasingly close friendship with that God, that is God's gift to us as the everything that we need. Okay, well, in the last few minutes, we will spend our time in the middle of the diagram and we'll look at growth and say that not growing is dying. So look back down, look at verse 5. Verse 5, 2 Peter chapter 1 says, for this very reason, so because we have everything we need for life and godliness, we are to make every effort to add to your faith goodness and to goodness knowledge. And make every effort to add. And then verse 10 uses the same words, make every effort. So let's put that on the diagram. That is how it should work. That's how Peter says it works. And then the application, the thing that Peter is hoping will come out of this time we've spent this morning, I've put on the diagram like that, is like a sweatband and actual sweat. Someone in the graphics team has added there for me. Make every effort in this. And verses 5-7, so look down at 5-7, they give us the day-to-day content of what we're to do. So the Christian life, it is a progress. It's a movement. It's a growth. It doesn't normally feel like a smooth, sort of victorious, trouble-free coasting through life. It should instead feel like our picture on the screen. Should feel like a sweaty pounding up a hill in a hot country. We said last week and this week, these are two passages that connect the idea of knowledge, ideas about God, with our actual growing, deepening Christian life and character. So look at the list in 5-7. It's a wonderful list. It's a sort of virtuous circle in the end, I think. It starts in faith and says, add to your trust in Jesus goodness. I think our 21st century, we've almost given up on goodness. We're into angrily demanding what is right. But actually the sort of, I'm so glad that person is here. They're so good to me. What they do is good. Add goodness to faith. And then you kind of think, get enough self-control to do that goodness some of the time. And then throw in some perseverance so that you can actually keep doing that more of the time. And then round you go to mutual affection and to actual love for the people that you're placed in society and family and church among. And then that leads you round to faith. And then knowledge again. The more you know about how to live the Christian life, the more you know you need to trust God's promises, the more you know him better. So the question is, am I making every effort? Am I growing as a Christian? Am I still moving forwards in all of those areas? Or have I actually stopped and given up? Am I still making every effort, even in the areas I find hardest? Again, remember that shift in verse 3. From I can't do it, it's too hard, to I know it's hard, but you can. And knowing God more deeply, that is what we need for this. And we spoke last week about spiritual dieting. So the danger of confusing middle-age weight patterns with baby weight patterns. And that actually in the Christian life, the Bible says we are all babies all of our life. And that we are to crave to grow. We should be putting on weight all of our lives spiritually. That urgency and passion that a baby has when you try and steal the bottle from the baby. This week, I want to just highlight, he's speaking to every Christian in this church he's writing to. And he tells all of them, make every effort. Just want to highlight that actually none of us can blame other people if we're not growing. So there are many other people involved and helping us. I hope that that you have many friends helping you grow as a Christian. There's one in the verses. Actually, in verse 15, there's someone else making every effort in this passage, and that is the Apostle Peter. He's dying or close to being killed, and his last dying effort, his last breath, as it were, goes into writing to Peter. And he says he's made every effort so that we will still be able to access the knowledge of God after he's gone. So we will be able always to remember these things. That's why we've been able to spend this morning in 2 Peter, because while he was in prison, while he was close to death, he made every effort to help us so we'd have these words. I hope that your Christian friends are involved in helping you. That's why we encourage everybody who possibly can to join a life group. So that you could do this deliberately with the same 10 people every week, rather than a sort of rotating cast of 500 who you might sit next to Sunday by Sunday. We had a baptism this morning, and we interviewed the parents, and they spoke about how that varies and changes through life, how they used to be part of the same fellowship group, but now actually with two small children at home, that one is at the morning Bible study for women, one is at the fellowship group. But find people to help you. It's why we're doing the series that Campbell mentioned, where just briefly in each service over 6 weeks, we'll raise, just sort of put on the table, one discipleship topic. so that you could find a friend in this room, maybe someone from your life group, maybe a leader of that group, maybe a friend. And we'd have sort of given you permission to say, how is it going in your prayer life at the moment? How are you finding it? Are you growing as a Christian? So that we can help each other. Obviously, God is involved. You're not at all on your own. God is powerfully involved, giving you himself, dwelling in your heart, strengthening us by his Spirit. But having said all of that, the person most responsible for the growth of each Christian life is the Christian who is living it. Maybe some of us were aware that we're not growing as we wish we were. Maybe even there's a kind of plateau in some of the areas here on this list. Or maybe one of these areas, it just never has been easy for you. Always hard. And perhaps you, like me, you're tempted to find the someone else whose fault that is. Maybe it is the neighbors and the people you share your life with. Maybe it's somebody who is not helping you as much as they should. In fact, that can happen particularly to people who've been wonderfully helped by someone in the past. Maybe your parents. Again, John and Laura spoke about reading the Bible with their children each night, so much so that the Bible we gave their first daughter is now destroyed. And they were glad to get the one we gave their second daughter today because they need a new one. Maybe it was a youth group leader. Maybe it was your friends when you were a student. Maybe it was a favorite minister who maybe you don't see as much of anymore as you used to. The person most responsible for the growth of each Christian life is the Christian that is living it. And I think it's maybe particularly important to say that here at All Souls, where actually we have a very small paid ministry staff team in relation to the number of people who come here to church. And actually, all of us, we live lives scattered all over London. We don't just bump into each other at Asda and, have you done your daily bread today as you pick up a loaf of bread? The person who is most responsible to review your Christian life in 2025 is you. The person most responsible to make decisions about 2026 is you. So whatever your situation, does the sweaty picture describe you? I remember being told about somebody, it was actually at a Bible college, someone who'd started at a Bible college, been there for a bit, and someone said, I don't think they've broken sweat yet. Is that a compliment? As in that, not finding it that hard? I don't think that's a compliment at all. Somebody not really trying, doing okay, but not trying. Are you a Christian who has broken sweat yet in 2026? Or maybe the conversation you need to have is that you really have and you're struggling and it's so hard. Again, there's lots of realism in these verses. Verse 4, about the corruption of this world, about evil desires that are in the heart and flesh of every Christian, the areas that we're called to work on in verses 5 to 7. You would not need self-control or perseverance if these things were easy. And verse 10 talks about the risk of stumbling. But verse 10 also says, if you do these things, meaning the wonderful list in 5 to 7, love and goodness and perseverance and self-control, if you do these things, then you will never stumble and you will receive a rich welcome into his kingdom on the day when we see Jesus again. So God, he wants us, verse 8, he wants us to bear fruit, to be productive, to be effective. The things that we know about God, if we don't forget them, but if we drag them into our hearts and into our memories and into our recall, if we focus on our relationship with him, our wonderful God, then, and we grow in that, making every effort, then that is where the growing, productive, fruitful Christian life comes from. So let me pray that that would be our 2026. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness to us, that you want to know us, that you give us these promises, in particular the promise of forgiveness and of rich welcome into your kingdom. And Father, we pray that we would love you, and in our love for you, we would grow in our knowledge of you, and that would fill us in our hearts and minds and souls and wills,
and that we would make every effort to put into practice and to grow, to add in all these areas of our lives, that you then would be able to use us, that we would bear fruit for you until the great day when we see you face to face. We ask all this in Jesus' name for his glory. Amen.